Welcome, everybody. This is your weekly podcast preview for Sydney Racing on Saturday. We're back at Randwick for the Mackell Cup meeting, and Paul Joyce, our form analyst, is with us. Hello to you, Paul.
Hello, Andrew. Lovely to be talking to you again, heading into a Saturday meeting in Sydney. As you said, Randwick, we should have a good four or maybe even a good three track. The forecast is terrific. And look, it's another tricky sort of quaddy, but there is one leg there I think we can narrow down to a couple of chances. So with a bit of luck, I think we'll get through this week and maybe something big at the end.
Okay. As we record this, the track is very close to a good four, and with no rain, you'd think you've done the form for a good four?
Yeah, good four, even verging into that good three. I mean, we've seen some very fast times at Randwick through the autumn, and, you know, I expect it to be closer to a three than a four, but... either way, good track, good racing for this time of year. You can't ask for much more.
No, exactly. All right, let's have a look at them. Legs of the Quaddy. It starts with race six, a race over the 2,000 metres, a benchmark 79. Almighty Crown has come out of this race already, number two, but still 14 to run.
Yeah, that's right. Chris Wallace still has a big hand, even with Almighty Crown coming out. Obviously, an open race for the three-year-olds. A few of these, you know, maybe trying to work their way up to Brisbane for a late crack at the Derby, perhaps. Look, I've gone 5, 3, 9 and 12 for the first leg of the Quaddy. I've got this number 5, George Eka, on top at the big odds. He's a horse I've had a bit of time for, an Ocean Park 3-year-old. Chris Waller's obviously got him, and he's won 3 races out of 8 starts, but it's worth noting the distances he's won over. He won over 1,700 to break his maiden. He then won a benchmark 63 against the older horses over 2,100. And then last start out at Hawkesbury, he ran down a couple of his handy stablemates to win a Class 2. So that was over 2,000. So basically all his wins are in this distance range, and I think that's a massive plus coming into this benchmark 79 affair. Josh Parr aboard, probably one of the best jockeys down there on Saturday, with the rest sort of heading to Brisbane. And I just think around that sort of $15, $16 mark, he's an each-way play for me, number 5, George Eka. The 3, Live and Free. Now, he'll go around favourite on the strength of that dominant win at Rose Hill last start, beating Primitivo and Almighty Crown. If he gets the breaks in the run, he's obviously the horse to beat. You've got plenty of upside, this 3-year-old, for John O'Shea and Brenton Abdullah. Number 9, Campaign, another one of Chris Waller's. I keep going back to the second at Canterbury last prep. That was over 1,900 behind Dark Dream, who goes around the even money favourite up in Brisbane in the Grand Prix on Saturday. So I'm throwing him in at the big odds. And number 12, Ombudsman, who finally cracked it for his maiden win at Hawkesbury last start when he got out to the 1,800. He'd always raced as though he needed distance. And when he finally got that distance, he thumped his rivals. So he goes into the Quaddy as well. 5, 3, 9 and 12. Live and Free, the one to beat, but there's a couple in there at big odds that could cause an upset.
Yeah, talking with John O'Shea on Wednesday, I think with Live and Free, they had the option of going north, but he just felt, no, let's have another crack here. And I guess the only thing that you explained there is just that barrier draw that he just hoped you get the right run.
Yeah, exactly. It's a tricky start off the 2,000 at Randwick, and, you know, it could go a bit pear-shaped, but even on my map, he actually looks as though I think Brenton will slot in probably midfield and just get some cover. So I think it'll be okay if you're Alive and Free.
Righto. The seventh race is the feature race, the $150,000 Mackell Cup, a field of 10 here with horses that we know. Ecuador's trying to win the race for a second time. Our Centuries here, maybe on the way to Brisbane. How does it set up for a 2,400-metre race?
Yeah, I really like this race from a betting perspective. We've got Naval Warfare on the quick backup, who led them up last week and was just pipped by the Getaway. Now, I'm going to take that form on. That was only a benchmark 85. We're up in grade to a Mackell Cup here, so I'm going to take that form on. The other horse, Ecuador, as you mentioned, won this race in 2016. He likes to get up on speed. So they're your two leaders. You've got Our Century, probably not far off them, off a lovely gate this time. And the only other runner I've got sort of pressing forward could be Lavani, who's been knocking on the door of late, but this is her first test at 2,400. So I'm happy to narrow it down to two picks, numbers 3 and 1. This is our risk leg, if you want to call it that. Our Century goes on top for me. That was a massive win at Rose Hill in the Lord Mayor's Cup. It showed a couple of things. He overcame a wide run to beat them. He went forward mid-race, so he's got a bit of versatility. It was only his second run for Kim War, so you'd like to think there's a bit of improvement there. That was from 1,400 to 2,000. Now he's going out to the 2,400, where he's already had 3 starts. He's had a first, a second, and a third, and one of those seconds was a nose second behind Big Duke. in the Mannion Cup. So, look, I think he ticks every box here, our Century. I do think he's one of the best bets of the day. But I'm putting in Ecuador number one because he's just a tough, on-pace competitor. We know what you get with him, and he did win the race a couple of years ago. So just numbers 3 and 1. You know, I'm taking on the other main hopes here, probably Lavani, Destiny's Kiss, maybe Naval Warfare, but really, I don't think any of them are going to beat our Century anyway, so I'm happy to narrow it down to 2 there.
All right, so 3 and 1 only in the Mackell Cup. Race 8, gee, this is a good race, Paul. The Manshake over 1,100. It'll be interesting to see if Widgie Turf comes up given the draw, but also I think Patrick wanted a bit of juice in the track, so we'll wait and see what the decision is there over the next 24, 48 hours. But haven't we got some informed horses here?
Oh, yeah, no, there's a terrific lineup of sprinters, 1,100 open handicap, you know, really good placement by Racing New South Wales to throw a race like this out there. Speed-wise, I've got the speed as being fast, and that'll mostly come thanks to a horse called Sweet Serendipity, who just likes to rip along under the 53 kilos, and, you know, got a horse like Oxford Poet engaged in the race as well. So, good speed. I've gone for the quaddie, it's 4, 8, 3, 11 and 9. So we've got the 5 runners here, but I'm backing 2XS to win, Tracy Bartley's sprinter. I've always got a big opinion of this bloke. He smashed them first up in the Hortensia at Scone. He loves the 1,100. He's had 6 starts for 4 wins over the trip. Loves a good track, which he gets. And he's come up with this perfect barrier, barrier 6 for Jay Ford. I can see him just tagging the speed here, letting them do all the work and then just sailing past them in the straight. And I'm going to have a good bet on the 4 2XS. Number 8, I thought so. What an interesting runner he is. He's gone up favourite, formerly trained by Dave Pfeiffer, now with the Snowdens. Of course, he was gelded prior to his last prep because he just didn't want to find the line, but he still couldn't manage a win last prep. He's had 2 very sharp trials. I think the Snowdens have got him revved right up here for a first-up kill. The problem is he good enough to knock off 2XS? I think the market's got them the wrong way round. I put I thought so in for second. Number 3, Pecans. Well, how good she? You can't find a bad run going all the way back through her form. She won the crown first up. That was at 1,300, so she's back to 1,100. I think Joe Pride trying to sneak her into the Stradbroke. The 11, Perizzata. Well, she's as tough as they come. She won well last prep, knocking over Fickle Folly, which was a brilliant first up win. And then number 9, the other one I've got in, the Quaddy Samantha, who's got the blinkers first time, no trial, barrier 1. Gee, I can see something. Read between the lines there with Gerald Ryan. I think he's got her wound up for a first-up shot as well. So it's 4, 8, 3, 11 and 9, as you said. Terrific field, plenty of chances. But I'm a massive 2XS fan, and I'll be putting my money where my mouth is.
Yeah, I know Tracy's a little bit concerned with the way it's gone up in weight. But, gee, as you described it just then, smashed the rivals there at Scone.
Yeah, exactly. And he's always shown the potential to go right to the top level. And that win first up says to me he'll get there this prep.
All right. So they're the numbers in race 8. We come home with the last over the 1,400, a benchmark 77. At this stage, the lone scratching is number 12. High Miss gets the emergency into the race. Volpe for Danny Williams. How's this one seen, Paul?
Yeah, look, we've got a full field, haven't we? Absolute capacity. That usually puts pressure into a race. The speed horse, Rebe Rampart. We've also got Carluca. And the other on-pacer here looks to be Choice Lager. So good speed to round out. What a last leg of the quaddy, though. We're coming from everywhere. I've gone 5, 11, 4, 14 and 6. So we'll whiz through them. Schubert on top despite the horror draw. Now, just putting him on top because sometimes at Randwick come the last race, you don't want to be drawn 1, 2 or 3. You actually want a wide gate. So a bit of anticipation as to how things unfold. But look, Schubert, I thought first last start at Warwick Farm was enormous. And I'm going with him despite that gate. You know, unless it's an on-pace rails paradise, I think I'll leave him on top come race time. Number 11, the danger here, Fierce Impact. What an Aussie debut that was. That was in the Schubert race. He drew 15, ended up on the fence and dived through late. He would have won in another stride. So he's come up with barrier 4 this time, a Beacon. So basically that's the trifecta from that Warwick Farm race. Beacon split those 2. So they're my top 3. And then the other 2 for the quaddy here, we've got 14, Rebe Rampart, who looks the leader. And she actually ran 4th in that race. So I've just realised I'll put the first 4 in for my first 4 here. And number 6, Carluca, ran 9th in that race and didn't get a lot of room in the straight. And he always bounces second up. So every single pick is coming through that form race. I hope I'm right. 5, 11, 4, 14, and 6.
Righto. So there, the quaddy. It's a competitive last couple of legs, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Look, it's just open racing. It's that time of year, and you know, for the off season, it's amazing how competitive we can get these fields. And it's going to be another terrific day's racing on a good track. So $20, 10% right on the button. Obviously, we've narrowed it down a bit in the staying feature with only two runners, but I think we'll get through that leg. It's really just probably the last leg, if anything, that I'm a little bit concerned about, and maybe the first leg. But look, I'm quietly confident we'll sneak through, and I think there'll be a dividend at the end of it.
Good on you, Paul. Good to talk to you. We'll do it again live on Saturday morning. If there's any scratchings, you'll update and go through every race for Randwick. Looking forward to Mackell Cup Day. Thanks a lot, mate.
No, thanks, Andrew.
Paul Joyce, our form analyst, and the podcast preview for Randwick Racing on Saturday.